This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2020, held in Belleville, Pennsylvania on March 6 and 7.
Thank you, Linford, for that introduction. Yes, at All Nations Bible Translation, languages are close to our heart. Anyone who is going to be involved in ministering through Bible translation is going to learn at least three languages besides English, a trade language or national language, the target language that they want to translate into, and a biblical language of Hebrew or Greek. So language is a big deal for those kind of people. It's a big deal for us. That's not necessarily why I'm here, although I think our connection with languages is one reason that they invited me to address the subject. I do teach Spanish as a second language in our, it's not technically a school, it's a homeschool co-op at State College over here, just 45 minutes away west of here. And so I come with a little bit of that experience. Why you should teach a second language in your school? Okay, I want to first address a foundational principle, and that is maybe some of us feel we wish we didn't have to deal with languages. After all, they're a huge hindrance to communication. Language and communication are so basic to the human existence, to who we are as people, and the multiplicity of languages is a real, it's just a trial sometimes, isn't it? And in fact, we know our Bibles, and we know the origin of diversity of languages, and some of us probably view language diversity as a curse from God. You know, back at Babel, they were proudly declaring that we're going to make our abode here, we're going to make a tower that reaches to heaven, we're going to do anything we want to do, and God said, no, actually you're not. And he dispersed them by changing their languages. Well, the thing I want us to notice here is that God made languages, not just one language, but he did make those other languages. He did start that process. And some people would actually believe that he probably, what God probably did there was just fast forward a process that was going to happen anyway, as people multiplied and spread and filled the earth, which, by the way, they were determined not to do in spite of his command. So God was maybe helping along the process that he intended to happen from the beginning. I don't know about that, but I do know that as we go further in the scripture, there's an event in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where languages came into play again. And as God sent the Holy Spirit, all of these different people from many different nations heard the wonderful works of God spoken in their own languages. And that wasn't a reversal, per se, of Babel. You know, a reversal of Babel would be, say, God would have suddenly made a one-world language or something like that. No, but it was actually God's approval on the diversity of languages. God didn't have to do that on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. God didn't have to have them speak in their own languages. I mean, all these people from many different nations were already together in one city and getting along just fine, communicating with each other. They shared a common language, Greek, I think, and God didn't have to do that. But God chose to do that, and his doing of that, to me, shows that he approves of the multiplicity of languages that we continue to experience today. God speaks every language. Now, some languages maybe haven't figured that out yet because we haven't brought his word to them. But God, our God, speaks every language. Unlike the God of Islam, for example, who can only speak one language. I'm so glad to serve a God who speaks any language, every language. And so we don't look down our nose at any language. Languages are good. So with that as a starting foundation, let's not come into language learning and teaching a second language with some sort of a negative, why are there so many languages? God designed this. It's good. Before jumping into my main points, I just want to mention that I did pick a number of other brains in this, some, and so they aren't all just my thoughts. Particularly, I talked to Samuel Heatwell in Virginia. He knows more languages than I do, and asked him about what's the benefits of learning a second language. He gave me this. This was one of the things he gave me. This list that he had already shared elsewhere, and so I'm simply sharing it with you. I can't defend it completely, but I think it's a good list of side benefits of learning a second language. Think of this in behalf of the students in your school. They can become smarter. They can build multitasking skills. They can stave off Alzheimer's and dementia. Their memory improves. They become more perceptive. Their decision-making skills improve. And their English improves. Well, I want to go on into a few points. The premise today is that teaching a second language benefits your students, and it also enables and empowers them to bless other people. And in benefiting the student, it helps to accomplish goals that we have for them, such as a primary goal of humility. When you think about Babel and what happened there, it seems like that was one of God's purposes, was to combat the native human arrogance, pride. And suddenly, they became like babies to each other. They couldn't even understand each other. And a lot of us know what that's like. We find ourselves in another country, another situation. Suddenly, we can't communicate. And when we try, we think we figure out how to say something, they laugh at us. Humbling experience. And it still works that way. It's a humbling experience. But the very act of positioning yourself as a child, as a baby who doesn't know how to speak or communicate, is a good experience that promotes humility, learning a new language. In fact, the best language learners are those willing to take the most childlike posture. They don't take themselves too seriously. They acknowledge their ignorance. They are able to laugh at themselves. And I was just talking to somebody here just before the session. We live in one of the best places in the world, right? Here we speak English. We don't have to learn a second language. In fact, everywhere we go around the world, they want to learn our language. And I don't think we grasp just how much that affects the attitude that we Americans have, the arrogance that we Americans are known for. What's a person called that speaks three languages, you know? A trilingual, and somebody who speaks two languages is a bilingual, and somebody who speaks one language is an American. So they say. And our tendency is to look at the world, yeah, if they only spoke English. You know, we're the people. We have the right language. All right, learning another language benefits the student by promoting humility. Give the students a call to go deeper in humility. Learning another language gives a new lens by which to view God and his world. It's been said by someone who's studied and learned more languages than I ever hoped to, no one language can capture the glory of God. No one language can fully capture the glory of God. Learning another language opens our eyes to a new way of thinking, a new way of expressing ourselves. We have a need to say things that we never even needed to say in English. We have new connections that are being made that were never connected in our minds when we only spoke one language. And our language is inextricably tied to the way that we think about life. We view it through with the language that we speak is inextricably tied. that our language reflects our culture. And so each language provides a new lens by which to view God and a way to see other dimensions of our Creator's glory. Furthermore, no one language can fully communicate everything there is to communicate with the same richness of expression. Some languages just do better in certain areas. There's reasons why even I, who don't use Spanish all that much anymore, still want to throw in that Spanish phrase or word sometimes, because English just doesn't quite say it the same way. And many of you know that in your experience. So I maintain that languages from communication, and languages plural, can communicate more fully, giving mankind a more nuanced and expansive view of God. Help your students along in that process by giving them the opportunity, the experience of communicating in another language. Just to illustrate some of that, the language up north, in up northern Canada, that has 9 or more words for snow. You know, for us, there's snow and there's snow. But if you live in a place where snow is part of your life, it affects your everyday decisions, it affects how you go about hunting and survival, and what kind of snow, the softness, the wetness, the heaviness, the crispness of it, whatever, those become important factors in your existence. And so there's vocabulary for that. Just an example of how culture and the life that we live affects and is intricately tied with the vocabulary that we use, which in turn affects the way that we think and view and do life. A beautiful cycle. Another language that views everything because of, I don't know which is because of which, but their language allows only communication that talks about things that they themselves have seen. I have seen this happen. If I didn't see it happen, I need to speak about it a completely different way. Use a completely different kind of verb, that kind of thing. Or the one over in Siberia where they have a word for the short side of the hill. That's the side that you don't want to try to take your oxen cart up, you know, the other side. We don't have any vocabulary for that. We don't have any need for it. And down in the Amazon, where there's no such abstract things as a right hand and a left hand. I mean, if I turn around, it all changes. They go in terms of upriver, downriver, toward the river, and away from the river. And it works perfectly, as long as they stay home. Learning one language facilitates learning another language, learning other languages. So, yeah, it gives tools for going on to the next one. So just use the example of Spanish. One of the things it does is gets you acquainted with and familiar with the idea of viewing the whole world, everything in it, in terms of masculine and feminine. Something we don't even, in English, there's no place for that. And it gets us, for instance, accustomed to conjugation, ways that letting the verb carry a lot of the heavy load in the sentence, to where, you know, one of my students said, "Oh, that's so neat. You don't even have to give the pronoun to know who did it." You know, well, he hasn't figured out yet just what it's like to do 7 times 6 is 42, 42 different ways of expressing that verb in order to make that happen. But it's all part of it. So empower your student to tackle other languages he might encounter by teaching a second language. Teaching a second language aids in understanding our own language, and that's been referenced already. But it helps us to see why something is done the way it's done, even in English. It helps us to evaluate the structures and have other ways, fresh ways of looking at things, and why it matters that we do it that way, because we realize this language does it a different way because there's a reason for that too. And sometimes there's not a reason for it. It also gives us a lens to kind of step outside of our own little language and culture box and look back and say, and see the idiosyncrasies of our own language. Just a couple that came to mind quickly from interacting with our, my young Spanish students is, you know, you have, I started this talk, at least in theory, at 2 o'clock. What's o'clock? They told me when I was growing up that it means two of the clock. But, you know, why not just do like they do and say, it's the two. Or actually, why don't you make that plural, because two is plural? Oh, it works. We just do it. It works for us. We don't know why we do it. We don't know why it works. But it works. Idiosyncrasy of our own language. How old are you? Did you feel insulted by that question? Like, you're not old, are you? Yeah, we do that to the little children. Shake their hand. How old are you? 5 years old. Well, five is not old by any stretch of the imagination, and yet we call it old. Why not just say, I have 5 years? So learning another language can just help your student develop a new way of looking at the world and asking questions and being perceptive. Why does a sentence, a question have to have does in it? Why does a question, why do we have to put that in? Do you always, do you know why? When you ask a question, you have to start it with do. That extra little word that sneaks in there, okay. Give the student a fresh set of tools for getting a hold of English and maybe laughing at himself and viewing his own culture and language too. Learning another language improves our awareness of other people and their ways. Language is culture. It's so integrally connected and tied that, you know, there's terms nowadays like sociolinguistics and lingua culture, things like that. Language is a window into the soul of a person. A community's language is a vehicle to carry you deep into the life and thought of the people of that community. Knowing their language helps me view them as potential friends. Learning another language, yes, broadens the potential relationships of your students and their interest and their ability to connect outside of their own little group. It broadens their worldview. Broaden your students' view of the world by teaching a second language in your school. And this, in turn, to come around and loop around to the idea of humility, I believe that a broader worldview, a broader view of the world, an awareness of others and other ways of doing things, contributes to the humility that we desperately need as well. I want to move on to just looking at how then, specifically, learning a language equips them to bless others. Language is identity. So often, the language that we speak is intimately connected to who we are. I think that the colonizing governments of North America recognized that. That's one of the reasons why when they established boarding schools for the indigenous peoples here, they forbade speaking the native language. You had to speak English. And that in itself did a lot to bring those nations to a position of shame. Their language was forbidden. Their language was inferior. They were inferior. And a student who can communicate in another language can give a crucial gift of honor to a group of people who may receive little honor. It shows value to others. Speaking a second language can demonstrate a strong welcome to immigrants. You speak my language. Oh, I'm so happy to hear you, to be able to communicate in this sea, this wilderness of people that I can't connect with. Here is one who understands me. Immigrants may be some of those who are most in need of that honor that can come through speaking their language. So a student who can communicate another language can reach this outsider demographic with an insider's welcome. Language learning opens avenues to serve. Hear these little stories all the time. Well, I knew a little Spanish and I was alone on this trip, street ministry or something, or somebody came along and they couldn't speak. We need a translator. Well, or I can't understand what she wants. In the grocery store, even maybe it is, wherever. And then there's a whole potential for lifetime vocation in other languages and cultures. So a student who can communicate in another language is uniquely prepared for sending out to reach the world. We want to think ahead. Do you care about the kingdom of God extending and the people in far corners of the globe coming to him? Well, then incorporate that into your school and, you know, give it a little bit of a foundation by getting them started, getting your students started on another language. It can do a lot. Furthermore, a student who can communicate in another language is positioned to fill vacancies that no one else can fill. I have a friend who has a full-time job translating in the hospital for all the immigrants, the Spanish immigrants that come in. So it doesn't have to be overseas either. Language learning empowers discipleship. It's a way of being incarnational in ministry. It kind of embodies the message. Like the Word, when God became flesh and dwelt among us, somehow we can do something similar when we're willing to step into their language and their identity and embody the message in that way, bring it to them. Language is about people. It's all about communication. It's about people. It's about relationships. And so knowing a language where you can go deep with another person empowers discipleship and kingdom growth. Start your students down that road. A student who can communicate in another language can build relationships and proclaim Jesus to people outside his own group. Give him that privilege. Language learning another language can serve as a bridge to the least reached. Many times the most overlooked, taken advantage of people are not the speakers of the majority world languages like Spanish, but they're accessible through that. We don't learn, okay, let's look at Latin America. We don't learn Spanish because it's the language of the oppressors, the conquerors, the colonizers. But if we think about Latin America is full of, and maybe I should say Spanish America, because then there's Portuguese America and all those others. But it's full of Spanish speakers. And scattered in through that is a small sprinkling of many, many, many other languages. And they're the ones that are so often most appreciative when you take the time and take the trouble to learn their language. We don't learn it because we want to take advantage of them, but because they, or at least some of them, must use it to relate to the outside world. It's spoken all around them, and we have to break through it to them. And so learning other languages gives us access to more of those people. A student who can communicate in another language has better access to hundreds of the most neglected people groups. I want to talk a little bit about which language you should do in your school and give a couple of tips, then I'll wrap it up. Which language? The first two points that I have build on some previous things that I said, but it's really not a crucial choice. It really isn't that important which language. So don't get all stressed about it. Let's pick the most strategic, the best language that's going to serve all of our students well. Because the reason I say that is because learning one language does facilitate learning the next language. The next language that they encounter that they will need, this is going to give them tools that they can carry on with that. It'll get them started on that road and make it that much easier to do the next one. It's not like you've learned one and, oh my, that was hard. And about reached my limit, and I'm not sure I can learn anymore. No, actually, learning one makes it easier to learn the next one. Second, just choose any major world language. I'm not sure that you're going to want to start with Yolo Xochitl Mixtec or Yanomamo or Iraha or Hopi or, you know, those kind of languages. Probably one that you've heard of before is going to be your choice, right? So, like I said before, some of those other languages, we need some people that learn some of those languages and go to those people. But they're going to start by learning some of the more major world languages, whether it is Spanish, French, German, Swahili, Russian, whatever. Another thought, just look around you, think of your church community. Is there a returned missionary who's able to give a little time to come in and teach another language, a second language? Now, there can be disadvantages to that. Often, learning a second language through a person for whom it is a second language, like my students are learning it from me, you know, it's the best we can do right now. But there's issues of accent. I'm going to always speak with something of an English accent. Limited knowledge, definitely not like immersion in the culture, a person who really is part of that culture. That makes a difference. But definitely someone who can speak it goes a lot better than, say, working through some workbooks. I had that blessing in high school of being taught Spanish by someone who had been a missionary, came back and was willing to come in and teach. Just a parent came in and taught. And I hear of others who struggled through that old CLE Spanish and by themselves, and I really feel sorry for them. Another question to ask is, what speakers are around you in your community, in your area? Refugees, workers, students, scholars, if you're in a university area, perhaps. Consider learning their language. And, you know, consider including them in part of the language teaching. They know it better than anybody else ever will. Finally, biblical languages have their own value. Hebrew and Greek, the Bible was written in these languages, and knowing them, digging into them, can increase our understanding of the Bible and its world in which it was written, and by that, the message that it communicates to us. And it can really be helpful for us in just understanding how much maybe we don't understand of some of the nuances of the Bible's message. But it maybe promotes humility, I'm saying, in our study of the Bible. Plus, it is good preparation for those who may end up helping to translate it. I'll just mention, for those students, those high schoolers, for instance, who may have interest in studying a little bit biblical languages, there's right in Lancaster County, a brother, Anabaptist brother, giving an opportunity for that. I asked him, can high school students come and be a part of this program? It's partly in Lancaster County, it's partly just through online interaction. And he said, oh, absolutely, yes, send them. Another brother that's a part member of All Nations is helping to develop a Hebrew website where you can go. And you can go there right now and start learning some Hebrew vocabulary, hebrew.bibleling.org. And then there's also a new, just starting YouTube channel. Not one of our people, but somebody who is interested in Bible translation that our people have studied with some, Aleph with Beth. Moving on to a few tips. Maybe you're kind of wondering, how do we ever start this? What if we recruit a teacher, a parent, a tutor to come in and teach? How should they do this? Just a couple quick ideas. It can be done. It's not that complicated. You can start fairly informally in the younger grades. Maybe just do 10 minutes a day and then build from there. Think about a growing participator approach. That's actually a technical term, so I capitalized it, and you can learn more about that concept at growingparticipation.com, I believe it is. But the idea is learn a language. How did you learn English? Did it work? Did it work pretty well? You know, learn it like a baby. Start at the stage of just listening. And so as you start, do a lot of just talking, going over vocabulary in front of them, not demanding that they say a whole lot, those kind of things. And simple actions. You know, in my class, the first year that I do with them has a lot of just stand up, sit down, run, open the door, put the ball in the box, give me the black book, those kind of things. Just a little, very interactive. Use the lexicary. Lexicary is a book. I have one here. And it's simply word pictures. I mean, I'm sorry, it's wordless pictures. It's really advantageous if your students can learn that language without being trained to do constant translation in their heads. And so I try to avoid even word flashcards. You can hold up the word car and they say whatever they're supposed to say in the language you're teaching them. Try to avoid that for several reasons. One is you just don't want them to always be doing that translating in their head. Why not hold up a picture of a car and let them tell you what that is? Besides, no word in any two different languages actually has exactly the same meaning, same range of meaning. It can be used differently. It might have a different, you know, it might mean the same thing, but also means a little bit, it can be used over here in a way that the English word can't be used, and so forth. And so making those parallels sometimes is unhelpful. Okay. Include native speakers if you can. It's crucial for accent, it's crucial for listening comprehension. Oftentimes we think we know how to talk, but then when we actually get to the country and we try to listen to somebody speak, we're totally lost. So do what you can there. I know a family that they lived near a university and they found, you know, the children wanted to learn German, so they found a German speaker. Somebody else wanted to learn Chinese, they found a Chinese speaker, and they would take them, this is a homeschool family, they would take them to the an office to meet and do language learning with the native speaker. Other ways you can do that is through recordings. There's interactive computer programs like Duolingo or Rosetta Stone, those kind of things. Those can be just set up in the school, perhaps. Just keep in mind that language is not a dead thing. It's not a code to be cracked. It's not just working in a book and figuring out how to do grammar and all that stuff. It's about communication and talking. And so try to avoid a grammar-only approach. Make it oral, interactive, keep some variety to it, and then bring in the important grammar things along the way. So there's just a few thoughts for how it could be done, and you could pass along to those doing it. I want to summarize. But again, going back to the 2 points, language learning develops our students. So teach a second language to promote humility and a wider awareness of the world in your students. You will bless them in that way if you go to the trouble of implementing a second language program. Language learning empowers our students to bless others. The potential of this is tremendous. I just can't even imagine. But teach a second language to open avenues for empathy, honor, and discipleship in their lives as they go forward from your school.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.